Welcome back to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Today we're listening to some of our favorite conversations with Lucille Lortel Award nominees from the 2019-20 Off-Broadway season. Marcenia Lyle Stone was the first woman to ever play professional baseball when she became the second baseman for the Negro League's Indianapolis Clowns in 1953. A new play about her life, simply titled Toni Stone, was written by playwright Lydia Diamond and stars April Mathis, who received a Lortel nomination for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Play. I spoke with Lydia Diamond and April Mathis when the play was at the Roundabout. I began by asking Lydia where Toni Stone was raised and how she got into baseball.
Toni Stone was raised in Kansas City, and she was a young girl who just always played sports. She was a sports phenom. She, at one point, her mom was like, "Can we play something a little less tomboyish?" They called her tomboy than baseball, and she was like, "Fine, I'll be an ice skater." And she went. She became first in the state of with ice skating. She was in the newspaper for being on the basketball team. So, really interesting. Her parents had a beauty shop, and it was a segregated beauty shop, and she talks about having, had the black women who were like the people who sat in the first row of the church, and she says had better manners and clothes than the white ladies getting taken care of in the front. So it's also just such an interesting part of our history. But she was solidly upper middle class, and just such an interesting history.
You grew up in the Twin Cities area.
The Twin Cities. Why did I say Kansas? Because she played in Kansas.
It was interesting that as I watched this and I realized, she couldn't play in the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League because of segregation, yet she could play for a men's team.
Absolutely.
How so? Why was that?
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
Yeah, she was like, okay, you know what? Then fine. I'll play with the men. And, she was such an athletic phenom that she always had played with boys from the time that she was a really young girl. And I suspect that there was a certain something, tell me if I'm wrong, April, there was something about playing, in the Negro Leagues that was actually like she ascended further than she would have if she had been allowed to play in the Women's League.
Yeah, well, they weren't playing the same kind of baseball.
Right.
They were wearing skirts. It was very much
almost softball.
Yeah, and she studied with Gabby Street, she played professional, or that was what she always aspired to, is playing professional
baseball.
Hard baseball. Yeah.
So April, she's got such focus and determination, and the thing is, baseball seems like the most natural thing in the world to her, and sometimes kind of the only thing in the world to her. Can you describe her focus and her determination and why she just loves baseball so much, the way you play her?
Oh, what I really had to come to was the opening monologue that Lydia wrote, and which I hear was among the first lines that she wrote for the play. It's about the weight of the ball in the hand, and there's just something so fundamental about that. And what I keep coming back to, being somewhat new to baseball, or all team sports, is like the physical love of how it feels. And she says it's not the thing itself, it's the weight of it. And it there's just kind of like a sense body memory to it that is so visceral and essential for her.
It's so great that you said that answer, because my little next question was, would you mind reciting the first few lines of the play about the ball? Because I really think it gets it at Toni's, the way Toni feels about the game.
Yeah. So it was almost what I said. It is round and small, and it fits right there in your hand. And it's not the thing itself, it's the weight of it, is how it feel, how it fills what your hand was without it. Before that weight, my hand, your hand, is just a thing that serves you. It is a tool no better than a fork or a screwdriver. Before the weight, my hand, your hand, our hands are only there to pick up or tie or brush off or put down or move a thing. And then there is this.
And the ball rolls on stage.
Yeah.
Such a good moment. My guests are April Mathis. She's playing Toni Stone, and playwright Lydia Diamond. We're talking about their play, Toni Stone. So one of the things I also about Tony, and I love this, the way this is written and the way you perform it, is that she's crazy about statistics. She knows everything, and but she also needs them. She goes to them in a time of crisis, almost in a Rain Man kind of way. She keeps coming back to it. What do those statistics mean for her?
They're the stats of the Negro League players she would have known at the time, and they're very specific stats-wise to the time period that we're talking about her life around, in and around 1953. And so some of them are just last year, some of them are career stats. But there's another line in the play, I need rules I can sink my teeth into. And I think what we're drawing out about Tony as a character is this need for precision and rigor and like things nailed down, because she says also that she's an unreliable narrator. Her brain is not going to be linear. Like, the story's going to jump around. And so it's nice to have something that's anchoring. And those numbers. And it's interesting, too, about the stats kept during the Negro Leagues. They weren't kept consistently. Sometimes people didn't bring the tools to record the stats, and sometimes they didn't make the paper, or they made the Negro paper but they didn't make the national paper. And so I think for her too, her own stats are really important, just to, as a record of like what I did. And she talks about it when she negotiates in this. There's a great negotiation scene we have where she signs with the clowns, and she says another thing about baseball I like: it is what it is. Like, the stats are there. And when you have them, you can count on them, and they speak for themselves.
And I think also, to add to that, there's something about the way in the play, even in the beginning, she talks about history isn't necessarily trying to remember us. You have to hear the story. And so I also think that this reciting of stats is not only a self-soothing mechanism, but also her reaching for, you know, this happened, these people did this, and to remind herself and to remind us, and this happened.
A large part of the play not only is about Tony, but it's also about the Negro Leagues and the way the players were treated and what they had to live through and endure. Why was that important for you to include? I mean, this really, Tony's life story is tremendous. You could have really just stayed focused on that, but you broadened out a bit.
I don't think it would have been the American story. You know, we talk about baseball being the truly an American phenomenon, and, you know, our American history isn't unblemished. And part of the amazing thing about who she was and what she did and the time especially in which she did it was that she was able to do this thing as an elite actor, an elite athlete at a high level, despite all of the travails of Jim Crow. And, you know, they were touring on a bus. It's like the Green Book. Where could they stay? And then you add to it that she was with all men all the time. And so the history of sexism and then there's another thing, and that has to do with that the clowns, and there were several teams that had the name clowns in them. There was a dynamic that was problematic, which was that there was an element of minstrelsy the teams were sort of asked to do. And I don't think you can tell a story about someone without the context of the life. But also, there was joy. She was doing the thing that she loved doing, and there was laughter because they were athletes in a bus together. So I don't know if I answered that question.
Well, it's interesting. The athletes were forced to perform, to be entertainers. They're told you're players, but you're also entertainers.
Like the Globetrotters.
Get out there and dance.
Right.
Get out there and smile and shuck and jive.
Yeah.
While you're being these amazing athletes. And the casting. Tell me about the decision to cast. So it's April, and everybody else is a man. Mm-hmm. Aaron's a black man playing. They play white men. They play women.
Mm-hmm.
And the the things you can do with a baseball cap to change a character.
Right.
Is
right?
Amazing. Who knew? Yeah. Who knew a baseball cap turned a certain way could make someone suddenly a cocktail waitress? I'm interested about why the choice of all the dual
It
roles.
Was well considered and a sort of hard decision, but the obvious one ultimately to make. We don't have opportunities to have Black women on stage enough, period. Black people on stage enough, period. And so I was like, wow, I'm not employing a lot of Black women to give these men these roles. Ultimately, it's striking visually and it gives me room. We just get to see what that was, her in stark relief to all of these different kinds of men, but also to be able to show Black men supporting a woman this way, because despite whatever's happening in the story, and you know, there's a bad guy and there's, you know, adversity and all of that, ultimately this cast of incredibly brilliant actors is there to support and encourage and celebrate Toni Stone.
Toni has a very specific speaking pattern, April.
Yes, she does.
How did you develop? We heard a little bit of it. And it is part of the, it's such a big part of the performance.
Yes. Well, it was really great to encounter Lydia's text. And I think when I first saw the word "caint" written C-A-I-N apostrophe T, I was like, okay, we're going there. It's this accent. And I'm originally from the South. I'm from Texarkana, Texas. And while Toni grew up in the Twin Cities in Minnesota, she has roots in the South. And you can hear that in that kind of like pan-Black migratory accent. And it just locks in, and you hear the guys do it, and you know, there's just so much history in that speaking pattern, and there are so many variants of it. There's not one way to do it, and I was able to just kind of ride the language, and it took care of it for me.
My guests are April Mathis and playwright Lydia Diamond. We're talking about Toni Stone, which is being produced by the Roundabout Theater, and it opens
today.
This is huge. This is huge. I'm curious, what has been, in previews, audience reaction? Have there been any changes based on audience reaction? I'm always curious about what happens after previews.
Yes, there have been changes. There have been a lot of little changes that are seismic for us because it's changes the trajectory.
Actors love it when playwrights like give them new lines every day.
And we put them in within an hour. I think there was, in the previews, I think there might have been some changes around the dance.
Right. So we have this incredible choreographer, Camille Brown, who just won, or not won, but was nominated for Toni. And there's they're part of trying to figure out the movement of the minstrelsy part that we were telling you about, and how that landed with the audience in terms of how aware do we want the audience to be of, you know, where the dark side of this is, and there was just a lot of calibrating around things like that. There are also lots of changes around information, because we've been in the room with it for weeks and weeks and weeks. We know the story, and sometimes you need an audience to know where the holes in the story might be. Mm-hmm. And all of that kind of calibration.
It was interesting. There's a tentative clapping after the mm-hmm. minstrelsy scene when I saw it. My friend Lita goes, I don't think they understood it. Well, at the same time, you want to applaud the actor's effort.
I don't think there's a wrong way. For a while, we did. For a while, we thought, oh, there's something wrong with what we've done if they laugh. But, you know, that kind of is the beauty of the piece, and what also is lovely is when our audience is really diverse generationally, racially, because how these things land with different people is radically different. But that dialogue with the audience is sort of what it's about. It's so important. So it's okay if certain people are disturbed and certain people are laughing. And sometimes Black people clap because of the expertise of the execution of it. There's dancing. It's an incredible number, sort of. And some of us are really, really disturbed. And the same with white audiences. So,
well, we define what a playing the dozens is.
Or yeah, exactly.
We frame it, and that was something that came after several previews.
This is funny, actually. So they play the dozens, and the dozens. Yep. Your mama is so fat. How fat is your mama? And it's part of the history and a playfulness in the Black tradition that I realized. I was like, why aren't these getting laughs? I know these are funny jokes, but I realized the audience was rather horrified. They are telling body shaming jokes about somebody's mother. That's not funny. Is that funny? I don't think that's funny. And if they don't have the Black audience there to give permission, or even sometimes just generationally, people don't know what the dozens are.
Right.
So I added a line, and she says, "This the dozens, it's okay." And then we do the
thing. It's just
a
game.
It's just a game. And now it gets laughs.
That's so interesting.
It's very interesting.
Oh, that's so interesting. Isn't the evolution of it.
And that's why we're so happy for previews.
Sure.
You know, we had 4 weeks to get it right.
Oh, yeah.
Any real ball players seen it? Have any of them?
Have they?
I think so. I don't know if we've had...
I mean, I guess I was thinking about like professional baseball players, but we definitely have had hardcore baseball fans come. I've seen people bring their kids, you know. I have friends who play baseball and love baseball and have a history with baseball, and they love it.
Oh, we have had professional baseball players. What we haven't had, what I don't know if we've had, is Negro League players. I did sit next to someone who was like, the widow of Jackie Robinson is a friend of mine, and I have to get her here to see it.
Miss Rachel is a beautiful woman.
Oh
my gosh,
exciting.
That'd be so great.
I think she's going to come.
I have to ask before I let you go about Pam McKinnon, the director. This is an all-female creative team.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got Camille Brown, the choreographer, a female producer, and Pam McKinnon, this badass Tony Award-winning director. I would say, I asked before we started if I was allowed to use the word badass.
Sorry. Yeah.
It is a badass team of women who have made this beautiful, beautiful thing, and it's really exciting.
Have you had that experience before, April?
I have, because I've worked downtown for so long, and there's just... you know, a lot more room down there, and a lot of people taking opportunities upon themselves. The first time I was in a mostly male room, it was weird to me, and because it's just what I'm used to. But I know Pam from downtown, and it was really exciting when she called me in, because I've always wanted to work with her, and you know, she's a smart lady, and she gives a lot of room. And she sits back, and then she'll come in and kind of chiropractically, it feels like to me, just fix what's wrong.
That's kind of cool.
And can see like the shape. And, you know, if you come in a little faster here, it'll make all the difference. Or wait, and it'll make all the difference. And you do it, and it does.
She's also one of those directors who knows that the best way to get art out of people is to give them their lead. And so it's an incredibly collaborative room in which artists are empowered to bring what they bring. And then just like April was saying, she then molds and shapes it very deftly and in a clever way that sometimes you don't know she's being. I get to see it because I'm sitting in the house watching her do her thing. But I think sometimes the actors don't even know quite how brilliant she's being.
That was my conversation with playwright Lydia Diamond and actor April Mathis about the play Tony Stone, which received 2 Lortel Award nominations for choreography and for Outstanding Actress.